Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist for November 8th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hello, everyone. I hope you had a great Election Tuesday, because some shit went down.
And we are thrilled to be joined by the host of High and Mighty, and one of two people who I have Googled halfway through his first appearance on Comedy Bang Bang, Mr. John Gabris. What's up, man?
Oh, thank you, guys. So this is the moment in which I'm introduced.
This is the time.
Yes, it was a pretty obvious moment. I'm sorry I even asked.
No, you're not supposed to be talking right now.
Sorry, no, not yet, actually.
Hold on 1 second, and then Jack do the real intro, and then we'll go.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm very excited on this post-election Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have John Gabris in the building, because I am a huge fan. I didn't want to tell you that when you came in.
You played it real low key.
I didn't want it. All the sweating, I wanted to be attributed to something else. But yeah, it's so dope to have you here, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, please. Super Thanks excited. For having me. Yeah.
You and Carl Tart, by the way.
Oh,
the two
okay.
people who
Good
I've been
Googles.
Like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, Carl Tart's mad funny.
Yeah.
And we
As
constantly,
you,
we constantly say sound speeding in here. Too.
Yeah, so we do.
We're not sad on speech. The air, because that's your
sound
thing.
Sound speeds.
Sound speeds.
So, John, what is something that you have searched in the last week that you believe to be revealing about who you are as a human being?
Oh, okay. I could not remember a certain rugby player's name because I saw his picture on a Instagram, and he was super fucking jacked, and he was huge. And I was like, I searched, like, huge jacked and I knew he was like a Pacific Islander of some sort. I'm like, huge jacked Pacific Islander rugby guy. And I was like, this is insane search terms.
Right. And did it show up?
I eventually was able to find him. I'm currently like scrambling to search for him now to back up this story because I forgot of what I was going to say.
That's just kind of what you're into.
Yeah. And it turns out I was like, okay, yeah, this is the dude. He's fucking a huge dude.
Like bigger than The Rock?
I don't know if he's bigger than The Rock, but he, like, who is these days?
Nobody's bigger than The Rock.
Yeah, don't
Miles.
You dare fucking, don't you get out of here with that.
I mean, maybe Sam Clovis.
Oh, yeah, Sam Clovis has fucking got the traps like The Rock does, which is pretty fucking dope. Oh, yep, here it is. His name is Sione Calamafone.
How did you forget that?
I know. It's pretty
Calamafone. Yeah,
that's pretty around. Let me see this jacked man.
Look at the arms on this dude.
Oh my God. They look like my fucking thighs.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Dude, your thighs are ripped.
Yeah. Well,
that guy's fucking
thank
arms
you.
Are.
Thank you for bringing
insane.
It back to my
dirtier
leg.
Than I would imagine. yeah. So if you are into the male form, I say Google Sione Calamafone. I'm saying it sounds like I'm like, mocking. I feel like I'm mocking his ethnicity.
You sound like that guy, Bo Dietl on Fox, who's always like, yeah, say, Sione Calamafone, whatever the guy's name
the fuck his name is.
Bo Dietl is a John Gabris character, by the way.
Like, right, exactly.
He sounds exactly like everyone in my family. He's like, De Blasio, let me fucking talk here for a second, all right? Here's the thing about opposite side street parking, all right? Well, what side of the street is supposed to be on? And how am I supposed to know which one's the opposite?
Yeah, he's been in the he got in the news recently.
He was at the debate and was like fucking hogging the time. Remember
right,
that?
Yeah.
I think even like.
Oh, yeah. Now I know who you're talking about.
And he only got 1% of the vote yesterday in the mayoral election.
Oh, for real?
He
had one of the great performances of all time.
Oh, yeah.
In any debate.
Right below the rent is too damn high. It's
right.
Like those two guys. I fucking miss New York for those reasons.
Right. Yeah. Out here, we don't have that quite yet.
Used to be funny to have like a random person run for office.
Now
it carries a totally different connotation.
Now it just totally fucks your country.
The precursor was that gubernatorial election here when Schwarzenegger came in and everybody was writing in, like Mary Carey, the porn star, was like running. And I think we got past that, but I think we're back.
God, I wish Arnold was born in America. We could fuck it. He would be a Republican I would allow in the Oval Office.
I mean, yeah, he's taking gerrymandering seriously, so, you know.
Right.
He likes the environment. Who gives a shit about the rest of
exactly,
stuff?
If he's like a crazy womanizer. Who knows?
Hey, he raised his maid's kid. Fucking like.
Did he though?
It's still part of his life. The kid is a part of his life. He like posts about him on Instagram.
Oh, he does?
So I have like a new respect. He just owned his like, yeah, all right, I cheated on my wife. I had a kid. And now the kid's like
maid.
20. And he's like.
The kid looks straight up like.
Yo, That's like, he's actually, and he's got like Latino in him. So he's like, even like, he's like this giant jacked like square jaw.
Slightly more exotic Arnold Schwarzenegger.
My friend who was in town last week, like goes to a bunch of good golf courses and, he knows people who have like golfed with Arnold Schwarzenegger and, he always, every time he like meets someone new and is golfing, he like sets up, has his, like cigar in his mouth. And as he's like ready to tee off on the first tee, he's like, when was the last time you had a blowjob? And the person's like, I don't know, like 6 months. And like, as he swings, he goes, how did it taste? I'm like, that's his like go-to move. Like,
Man. See, he still got it.
Yeah. He's still got it.
He's got like the one-liner strength of an uncle. You know what I mean? Like, it's so great.
Yeah. How did it taste?
I mean, what I'm saying is that you are the one who was blowing the person and not receiving the blowjob.
Do you get it?
Yeah. Do you get it? Yeah, getting the blowjob.
John, what's something you think is overrated?
Oh, blowjobs. Seriously? The Tastes hand terrible. Is a very strong muscle. Oh, what is something I think is overrated? Okay. I mean, is it hack to say pumpkin spice stuff?
No.
It's sort of like it's in my house big time because my wife is very, very autumn oriented. So we have pumpkin spice soap and stuff. She doesn't drink the pumpkin spice lattes or the PSLs.
Okay.
But I don't think they're. They taste like candy to me. They don't taste like coffee. And now I just sound like the old dude who's it ain't coffee, all right? You're putting fucking pumpkin spice latte in there, all right? That ain't coffee. I'm like Dennis Leary's stand-up special. Pete? Fuck Pete. Give me whiskey.
it tastes like pumpkin pie, basically, in a cup.
It's so far from coffee. And it's like the fact that we've convinced ourselves as a culture, it's like this is appropriate to drink 7 days a week for 3 months.
So is your gripe against it that it's just real? It's like a nothing? It's just a flavor that people are getting hyped off of?
And then Starbucks is like capitalizing off of it. I mean, why wouldn't you if you were a business?
Literally, everyone's capitalizing. They have pumpkin spice Cheerios. They have spice everything. Yeah.
Don't feed that to your kids.
Yeah. That reminds us. We need to do that. We need to assign that out to one of our writers to look into like
pumpkin spice culture.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing to have pumpkin spice added to it?
And also like where the whole thing came from. Like was there like some like extract?
Right.
Like, they were just like, we've got a lot of this pumpkin spice shit.
Pumpkin spice condoms are pretty dope.
There was, like, five scientists in the laboratory. They dropped, like, an eyedropper into a Bunsen beaker or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, thousands of white women smash outside, like, ran into the lab. They're like, they surrounded us. They're like, let us in. There's, like, 50 white fucking Volkswagen Tiguans parked outside.
He gets on the phone. He's like, boss, this hasn't happened since Febreze.
This hasn't happened since Kate Spade tiny backpacks.
Ooh. Shout Somebody's in the know.
Somebody's in their 30s.
What's something you think is underrated?
Now, this again, I feel like this is I just finally got around to watching this show, and I can't believe how few people are talking about it. But I just started watching Baskets.
You just started watching?
I'm like 5 episodes into season one. I'm like, every time, I don't know that many people that watch it, but anyone who does watch it says they love it. And then I'm like, of course it's going to be decent. It's Zach Galifianakis. And I watch it, I'm like, this is funnier than most shit on television, and why aren't people hyping me to it?
Exactly.
Like why aren't I hearing it?
And also, like, Louis Anderson is probably my favorite part of that whole show.
He's so good.
It's unbelievable.
So good.
And all the Kirkland signature shit. I love
how much stuff they do that they don't address. Like, that's like my favorite type of comedy is where it's like huge choices that are not spoken to at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what's an example of one of the choices that they don't address?
Like, the fact that Louis Anderson is playing a woman.
Right.
He's playing his mom, and they just, like, it's never, there's not even, like, a, like, well, you know, when I have to go to the bathroom, it's like, you know, there's, like, no.
It's like, that's the mom.
Yeah, that's the mom. The, that Costco insurance salesman, like, that Costco is, like, such a global brand is, like, so, it's really funny to me. And then the hierarchy of how rodeo clowns work, like, like, it's such a, and I'm a few episodes in, so I'm very curious how the rest of it goes, but, like, the guy who is, like, all right, so you wash that paint off and I'll see you at home. He's like, I'm a juggalo, bro. They posit a world in which a juggalo is like, I guess I should become a clown.
That's my options. Have you seen it?
Yeah. I've I think I'm up through the second season.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very curious. Season three is starting.
Everything Kirkland is my favorite thing. Like, there's not a, if it can be Kirkland, it is Kirkland.
Yeah. The woman who plays, the insurance salesman, I feel bad that I don't know her name. She's so fantastic. She's so deadpan and dry. Like, I've never seen
his best friend.
Yeah, his best friend.
She's amazing.
She's so
Doesn't
good.
She have a cast on her arm?
Yeah.
Like, for a while, like in the first part. Like, just, that's I like, know. I think anyone with a cast.
Of course, Zach Galifianakis plays his like own twin brother who's got named Chip and Dale. They have two super handsome biracial DJ twin brothers. Like, I love all that shit.
Friend's name is Martha Kelly, is the actress.
Shout out to Martha Kelly.
Shout out to Martha Kelly. She is wildly underrated.
And those DJ twins, they run up and, have you seen them? You live on the West Side. They're all over like Beverly Hills, Brentwood, jogging all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's how you get cast, dude.
That's actually, you know, that was their mentality. Was
they're like, we're both twins. We're 6'3". We're handsome. Yeah. Let's fucking get out there.
Let's get out there. Just jog with our shirts off. At the very least, we'll be a meme.
Yeah.
So
shit, dude. Is that what I need? Just like, I'm going to call UTA. I'll be jogging by their office.
All right. Before we get into the stories, just state our purpose up top. The Daily Zeitgeist. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas out there changing the world, whether we're looking or not. We talk about politics, the president, news. We also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. just all the dumb shit that's out
Bat
there.
Bat Boy founding cave. Yeah. Yeah. We'll tackle it.
Exactly. But up top, we've been asking our guests to debunk something that they know to be like a movie myth or a pop culture myth based on their background. And we know that you are kind of an athlete, John.
Yeah.
Kind of like a...
I would say I'm an ex-athlete.
An ex-athlete. Yeah, yeah. Right. But you like played rugby. And...
Run down your creds of sports. What did you play? What did you play?
In high school, I played football and I was captain of the swim team. And then in college, I played rugby. And then after college, I played rugby for like a few years in New York City. And then I play like once a year for fucking like a travel team sort of bachelor party-esque type thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, so I could bust some jock myths for you guys.
Yeah. Jocks get a bad rap in movies.
Jocks get a bad rap in movies because they're always played as bullies, as a group of bullies.
Right.
But often the jocks, like, we're bullying each other. We have people we hate on the team. We don't need to, like, find nerds to bully.
Right.
Like, we're like, there's a dude who's on the team who you hate.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't have to reach. And I think that's the thing that's, like, there's that myth. And then there's a myth that jocks are dumb, obviously. And it's only because the most vocal ones usually are, but the most vocal kid in your class is usually dumb too.
Right.
But there's a lot of jocks who are like, believe it or not, and this is like, I think, nerd propaganda. Believe it or not, there are people who are both physically and mentally capable of things.
No.
Right. And I think nerds are like, well, if they're physically capable, we should brand them as dumb. And then we're, but then you also know like losers who don't play sports. You also know dumb versions of those people.
Right.
Yeah.
There are people who also can't do shit either way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're like, oh yeah, these fucking jocks. But I'm not a nerd. I'm failing in school and I hate myself and I have no friends or whatever.
I think I do automatically assume that nerds are smart.
Right.
And that's definitely not always the case.
I think if you're not smart and you're a nerd, I think you're just called a loser.
Yeah.
Is that terrible? Like, I hate to use like the brands of the late 90s, but I think that's makes you a loser.
Well, you need something to hang your hat on.
Right.
And if you're a nerd, like, come on, come with the intelligence, come with the intellect. Don't just hate on shit.
Yeah. I think that's when you start smoking cigarettes, when you're like, I'm not going to do sports or school. It's like, what can I find? Ooh, partying.
Be a juggalo.
Be a juggalo.
Hell yeah.
All right. That's great.
I love that, by the way. Only in the podcasting world am I the opinion of jocks. You're the closest thing we can get to a jock to come on here.
You have played a sport, correct?
I mean, I can talk about hockey, I guess, but no one will believe that a black and ease guy was playing hockey in the 80s and 90s. So
you fall under no preconceptions.
Yeah, like, that's even like, what the fuck are you
doing? The preconception
doing
is that you don't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was like, I grew up, my best friend growing up, who lived across the street from me, was black, and his mom was a doctor, and his dad was an engineer at Grumman, and I was just like, that was my black stereotype for 10 years, and I was like, wow, I was way off. Like,
that's not the stereotype.
Yeah, you met a group of black kids in like college, like, what's up, man? Y'all want to look at some schematics? And they're like, what?
All right. Speaking of stereotypes, let's talk about Mel Gibson, y'all. He's in a new Christmas movie.
He's not going to be in a new Hanukkah movie.
Right. Exactly.
Or Kwanzaa, to be honest.
Right. Yeah. Or anything.
He's in Daddy's Home too. So the whatever today's date is from his previous scandal is apparently the expiration date for you know, using the N-word and saying Jews start all the wars in the world. That's apparently the expiration date for, like, how long we give a shit about that.
Yeah, you have to be able to figure out, like, calculate a time before all your shitty deeds somehow get pushed to the back of, like, the social awareness and consciousness, and then you can kind of, like, sneak back in, and they're like, oh, okay, I guess we're letting you do this?
Yeah, and, I mean, this kind of ties into stuff we've been talking about recently, because apparently... the criminal lawyer who sort of turned the tide for Mel Gibson and kind of helped him through his period of being, you know, ignored or, you know, hated by Hollywood for his weird rants, has now signed on to Harvey Weinstein's new legal team. So, you know, this system is getting ready to rev itself back into a high gear to try and rehabilitate Harvey Weinstein, apparently.
That's a tough one for
him. Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that Mel Gibson was a tough one. I would have thought that Alec Baldwin, that leaked voicemail to his kid, would have been, like, his undoing.
And but we're loving him, being like...
Yeah, but it's a matter of where you stand in some, like, culture war where you're like, we should forgive him. Like, right. Harvey Weinstein even tried to take that. He's like, I'll stop gun control. I'll do gun control. Please, please, please. As he's being dragged away to, like, some fucking Croatian resort to get better.
Sex rehab. Slang for who knows what.
Right.
But yeah, it's again, I don't, it's like the same thing with like R. Kelly. I don't know how people are still going to his fucking concerts.
Or Chris Brown.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, just, I don't want to start getting into like the equivalencies of like what's worse, pissing on like a girl or beating your wife, but
or
like,
just, or like holding women captive in your home, like, and not letting them talk to people. It's,
they come back so, people come back so strong. And it's honestly, money makes you indestructible. It's like what the lesson to be learned in America is. Like, you are unassailable if you have enough money. You'll that's what our entire political thing is now, right? Like, people, like, so many insane things have been said about both Hillary and Trump, and, like, literally nothing sticks. And I mean, I'm just saying that to be bipartisan for a split second.
Right.
So nothing sticks to either person.
Yeah. The power protects you, you know, especially, like, when other people have a lot to lose by you going down.
I feel like everything stuck to Hillary, man. I feel like she got a lot of shit. Stuck to her husband. Like, he got away with a lot of shit. But I feel like Hillary got people just, like, never forgave her for, like, letting her husband, like, fucking intern or, like,
shows
get blowed up from an intern.
Yeah, that, again, we have still have a problem being fair and balanced when treating the sexes equally.
Right. Dude, R. Kelly is insane because, like, just thinking back on that, like, I've been listening to some,
Trapped in the Closet.
Peak Aaliyah, like, and looking back.
Peak Aaliyah, I love
Peak
that.
Aaliyah, like, Timberland, Aaliyah, you know, cause you can't, like, get that stuff on the streaming services, but.
Yeah, all her shit is not on Spotify for whatever. Is it not on Apple Music either?
Spotify's gaps are very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm always like, really? You don't have this.
Well, that's where, like, the wars of, like, Tidal and Apple Music all, like, you start seeing, like, well, we got this. Right. So you're gonna have to, like, I'm not subscribing to all three. Yeah. I'll just download that shit illegally.
So, on like some service like TuneIn or something, I've thumbs upped enough Aaliyah that like one of her early album, I think her first album came on. That album was called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, and it had her as a 14-year-old standing in the foreground and R. Kelly in the background leaning against a wall. And, like, his whole thing was that he was dating Aaliyah, who was, like, 14 at the time.
Oh, she was 15 when they got married.
15.
Yeah.
Dude, he was, and, like, he's, like, stand, like, leaning back against a wall, like,
it's
looking
like
a,
yeah.
Right. It's like he was the
bad
guy.
It's like he's gonna purchase her on a yacht.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And we were like, yeah, but bump and grind, huh?
They met when she was 12, apparently.
Dude. Oh, fuck, man.
So,
this is a guy who, like, sexually abused one of our, like, favorite female artists of the past 20 years, and we were like, yeah, you know, I mean, he's got some good songs.
Yeah, because when you look at this,
He's got a little person.
Is that R. Kelly though in the background, in obscured in the background?
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah, because that is fucking creepy. Because like she's in the foreground in focus, and then in the background,
like blurry.
It looks like
predator.
He's on the phone, like, "Oh, I gotta go." Yeah, like he's hanging up the phone. He's like, "Oh wait, hold on."
He's like, "Hold on,
Sweet Pea just walked in."
Yeah.
I think I'm on camera.
Yeah, yeah. Look at the cover of her first album, AJ, nothing but a number.
And also like how they have her name phonetically spelled in parentheses, like above Aaliyah.
So oh really?
Yeah, just so you don't get it fucked up.
There you go, White America.
Don't you worry, White America. She's not Middle Eastern. who do you think we've gotten not drummed out of society the furthest that will bounce back?
I mean, we have no reason to let Weinstein back. Like, at least Mel Gibson's like
actors have it a little bit better,
right?
Because
they're
like good
looking
personal connection to them,
right? Whereas like Weinstein's gone.
I'm gonna play it safe and I'm gonna say Steve Bartman.
Ooh, okay, that's a good one.
Is that the dude from the Cubs?
The Cubs. Yeah.
I think they
let
honestly
him
let
him.
Once the Cubs won the World Series,
yeah,
I feel like they like absolved him.
Yeah. that's the furthest I'm gonna go. Right. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? At this rate, right? Like, it could be how insane the world is right now. It could be. Who knows? Like,
right.
What fucking Harvey Weinstein or some
right.
shit.
Like, it's impossible to say how. What's going to happen with Woody Allen or, you know, some
right.
of the other...
Polanski.
Roman Polanski.
Polanski, yeah.
Ratner.
You got a pick?
I was trying to... I'm trying to think of who's, like, really actually fucked. Like, who's out of society. Like...
Right.
Because there's not many...
Who's, like Tom Hanks, like, Castaway
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
whatever.
Who's
yeah.
Been, right. Who's been drummed out and is, like, hopefully they'll be able to come... Like, Stacey Dash.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a solid pick.
Stacey yeah, Dash will Dash. Not be allowed back into the black community. I don't think they'll ever.
Hey, look, if R. Kelly's coming back, yeah, who knows?
That's true.
Right.
But fuck, I mean, yeah, Stacey Dash, come on. Ugh. You broke my heart, Stacey.
We have a list in front of us of like Mel Gibson's like sort of rap sheet of like all the bad shit that he did, and it's like way worse than I remembered. Like, so first of all. When he was arrested for the DUI in 2006 and called a female officer sugar tits and also said that the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world, he was already being considered a anti-Semite for making The Passion of the Christ, which like had an anti-Semitic message. So it's like he was already like had to like do an interview with Diane Sawyer that I worked on because I worked at ABC News at the time. And I was like looked into his dad had this like weird anti-Semitic church. And he was like, no, I swear up and down, I'm not anti-Semitic. And then he had this thing where he was like, the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. And then he called Winona Ryder an oven dodger at a party. And then
he's like making up his own racial slurs.
Yeah. Yeah. He made that one up.
It's nice. At least. Good takeaway from this is we can learn new racial slurs.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when I first heard them, I'm like, what is he talking? I'm like, oh, God, okay.
Yeah. Okay, jeez.
And then in interviews for Daddy's Home 2, he's, like, talking shit about feminists. Like, he's just straight up.
He hasn't changed.
Why? How are you not, like, prepped to death by some publicist who's like, look, just talk about the fucking movie. Talk about how right. excited you are to work in a comedy. You love Mark Wahlberg, blah, blah, blah. Get the fuck. Do not talk. Do right. not address any issue. If someone says, like, how do you feel about the about politics? Just say, like, and yeah, get out right. of there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just fart and be like, right?
In his Playboy interview, he goes, I had a female business partner once. Didn't work. Playboy goes, why not? And he goes, she was a C word, using. The word.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. Playboy, there it is.
It's not a bad word in Australia.
Right.
A judge.
That was like a first day of a New York City rugby team. Got in the huddle and the B team captain, he's just like, says, all right, we're going to get out there. We're going to smash these cunts, these fucking cunts. And he just says it so many times. I was so taken aback. And someone was like, yeah, Aussies say it like
yeah.
way
yeah.
more.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. This will be interesting, but it'll also be interesting to see how he pulls off the bad boy role of Mark Wahlberg's dad. Yeah,
another problematic actor.
Right. Blinded a guy. All right, we will be right back in a moment. And we're back. So we wanted to talk a little bit for our sort of middle section about the history of the NRA, we've talked about the NRA in the past couple of days after the mass shooting in Texas, and, you know, people talk about them in the aftermath of mass shootings a lot because they, you know, they have this pattern where they just kind of stay out of the headlines for a little while. They just don't comment on anything
right.
for a little while. They might even come out and say, yeah, we're for responsible, you know, laws about like outlawing bump stocks was the thing after the Vegas shooting.
Yeah, and then nothing happened.
Well, no. And then they reversed that. And we're like, nah, don't fuck with our bump stocks.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right, right.
After
like
a week.
The, like the slightest concession would be like, we're right. going to make something that is an aftermarket mod illegal.
Right.
Yeah, that we don't even sell. We're not even making. Yeah. And then they're like, no. Also, they. Well, how do they have, sorry, you keep going, Jack.
No.
How do they have us by the balls that much?
Well, yeah. that's what we're trying to figure out.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah. So they started out in 1871 after two Union officers from the Civil War were like, we fucking suck at shooting. We like, right. we apparently the Union side for every one successful shot that they took had shot 1,000 bullets. So they were 1 for 1,000 in the Civil War.
I don't think there's anything with odds that bad.
No, that's really fucking bad, especially because the big, like, difference in the Civil War, the reason the Civil War was so deadly was because they had much better weaponry. Like,
right.
they had rifles that could shoot straight.
And you just lined up and you're like, all right,
yeah.
blast.
Well, so they had better weaponry, but the generals were still used to, like, running people at each other. And so that's why so many people died. But
and it was the same country on both sides.
Right.
So, like,
yeah.
you know,
also,
you double the body count pretty
also,
quick.
Also, right. most of the people who died in the Civil War died of, like, diarrhea, essentially.
Dysentery or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so these two Union soldiers were like, we should create a club to help educate the next generation on being marksmen and, you know, hunting and recreational target shooting. So they tried to, you know, make shooting a more popular pastime. And then a bunch of presidents got shot. Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and an attempt on Teddy Roosevelt. He got shot in the chest and then proceeded to give a like 45-minute speech with a bullet in his chest.
The good old days.
Right.
When they
exactly.
were men.
But so the NRA at that point actually worked with the federal government on a lot of gun restrictions, trying to, you know, keep guns out of the hands of ex-cons and the mentally ill. They supported state permit requirements for concealed carry. And when there were a bunch of crimes in the 30s, they helped FDR kind of pass a bunch of gun control laws or like include gun control laws in the New Deal. The then president of the NRA testified before Congress and said, quote, I have never believed in the general practice of carrying weapons. I do not believe in the general promiscuous toting of guns. I think it should be sharply restricted and only under licenses. So
what
that's,
the fuck happened?
Things right. have changed yeah. a bit.
And we're completely in the antithetical reality now.
Right. So whenever the government has tightened restrictions on guns, the NRA has helped support and enforce those restrictions, including there were bills introduced in response to the JFK assassination. And after Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy were killed, they kept tightening guns. And then this asshole comes along named Harlan Carter. So this guy, when he was like a shooting champion. When he was a 17-year-old, his mother got scared. Three Mexicans were hanging around his neighborhood, and they scared his mom because she thought they had stolen the family's car 3 weeks earlier. So this dude, as a 17-year-old, goes to find the three Mexican kids who are younger than him, and he brings a shotgun. And one of the kids is presumably scared that this stranger's pointing a shotgun at him, pulls out a knife, and he immediately shoots that kid dead, dies immediately. And a court finds him guilty of murder. He tries to claim self-defense, and the judge is like, nah, you just straight up. That's not how self-defense works. And, you know, he was sentenced to 3 years in prison, but a higher court voided the conviction, presumably because he was a good old boy. I'm sure it would have happened exactly the same way if the Mexican kid had shot him. I'm sure that kid would not still be in jail. So, yeah.
Just like a Dago to bring a knife to a gunfight.
Right, exactly.
That's where the line came from.
Just like Holland to bring a gun to a knife.
And that's part of his, like, originary myth, too. Like, that a lot of people think of that, like, they hold him in high respect because they're like, yeah, man, he stood his ground.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, yeah, that's the beginning of, like, the toxic fall, right?
Right. So, his theory on guns was, you don't stop crime by attacking guns. You stop crime by stopping criminals, which is basically the early version of you need good guys with guns to stop bad guys with guns. He was just way more radical than the rest of the NRA to the point that they tried to, like, cripple his wing by firing a bunch of the employees. But then he, like, had this hostile takeover. And, you know, ever since Reagan came to power, because Reagan was the first presidential candidate endorsed by the NRA to ever come to power, ever since Reagan came to power, his sort of wing of the NRA has been in power. He also was super racist. Like, it wasn't an accident that kid was Mexican.
It wasn't an accident that his mom immediately thought it was three Mexican kids that stole the car. They lived down the block.
Right. He started the, quote, biggest drive against illegal aliens in history, calling it Operation Wetback in 1954. So, cool dude.
What was that about? I wonder.
Right. So, he said he wanted the NRA to be so strong and so dedicated that no politician in America, mindful of his political career, would want to challenge their goals. And their goals were basically to oppose anything having to do with gun laws or, you know, gun control laws. And the court, basically in 2008, they had this big victory because Antonin Scalia, who was appointed by Reagan.
And a class act.
Right.
One of our favorite Supreme Court justices.
Basically legitimized the long-held NRA belief that the Second Amendment was the right to bear arms, and that law extended to individuals and not only to a well-regulated militia. Exactly. Because that's what the Founding Fathers were actually thinking of when they created the law. Yeah, their own history proves that you can be both pro-gun and pro-gun control. I think the stat is 3 out of 10 American adults own guns, but only 19% of those are NRA members. And when you look at those two, even though they would outwardly appear to be similar, NRA members tend to own more guns on average. They're more likely to describe their political views as Republican or, quote, very conservative and go shooting and hunting more frequently than other gun owners, and they say that owning a gun is, quote, very important to their overall identity. So I guess it's 3 out of 10 adults own guns, but only 19% of gun owners are NRA members.
Right.
So it's not a very big portion of the gun-owning population.
Yeah, 5 or 6 million members.
Right.
But, I think the strength of, you know, when people don't understand, like, why they're so powerful, they can mobilize this grassroots thing so quickly and just get these phones ringing in congressmen's offices. And that's what gives these people in office, like, the illusion of, like, oh, this is very powerful. But they just have a group of many dedicated people, lobbyists, and grassroots people to put a lot of pressure on these.
Yeah, and also it's, like, a major part. Like, guns make America a lot of money.
Right.
Right.
Like, and if you're – can get – it's worth spending money on guns for these people because they're only going to make more money.
Right.
When we have to make 500,000 machine guns for American troops, and then we don't need them anymore. We get a new round of guns. Where do all those guns go? Right? They just are sold to other people.
Yeah. Say, hey, you want these guns? We're not using them.
We got AR-15s for cops now. Yeah. Like, cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I just watched The Professional with Natalie.
The Luc Besson classic?
Yeah, so yes. When we were talking about R. Kelly before, that was on my mind a little bit. But then also there's a scene when they go to finally get Leon at the end of the movie. These soldiers come in, they're the DEA, and they're, like, sort of crooked, but they all have ski masks and, like, tactical gear and, like, giant guns, long guns and all that. And I'm like, that's who's at, like, the mall now.
Right, right.
Like, this movie is in the 90s in New York, and you're like, right, this is intense. This is what they're sending for assassins.
Yeah.
Now those dudes are just fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, You should be able to see a cop's face.
Right.
You should, like, a cop's face should not be hidden. If they get to have a big gun, you should be able to at least look them in the eye and see that they are not losing their mind or getting irrationally angry. Or if they do open fire on someone, you could be like, it was that
cop. I know
cop.
His face, yeah.
Right. They shouldn't look like bad guys from G.I. Joe.
Right. Right.
It's true when you really do think of it. Because when you see a lot of those rallies, too, when people are doing open carry, like, it's exactly that. And I almost feel like you shouldn't be able to, like, open carry and have your face obscured either.
Right.
Just be like,
right.
Hey, come
one
on.
One or the other.
You should be able to open carry and be dressed in any sort of military garb, because then you're like, are you U.S. military or are you a fucking... you know, oath keeper from your coming in from your fucking shack.
I mean, some states you can't even have fucking open beer on the fucking street. And then these motherfuckers walking around like just a full on machine gun.
You're right.
Like,
what am I supposed to say to my children about those two men kissing? I don't know. What do you tell them when a fucking guy with a machine gun walks in the subway?
Right.
Yeah.
The restaurant?
Yeah.
And
restaurant. Wow, interesting label.
Yeah. It's aggressive.
Yeah, well, you know.
The sit-down restaurant I go for my anniversary every year.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think it's the different, like, the NRA used to be a, you know, a group that advocated for gun owner rights, and now they are, like you were saying, John, for basically gun manufacturers, and they want to do whatever's in the interest of gun manufacturers. So that includes, you know, scaring the shit out of people who, you know, buy thousands of guns and, like, have basements stocked full of weapons. You know, that's
what. Well, I thought Obama had them all now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Wait, he didn't end up coming.
I can't believe after 8 years, some of these gun nuts aren't like, I don't think he's getting them.
Right. I don't think anyone's going to take them.
Right. But the genius thing that they've done is because, like, gun sales shot through the roof when Obama was elected, and after he was out of office, they were like, well, how the fuck are we going to get, like, gun sales went way down once Trump was elected. But so they've now focused on the resistance. Like, the NRA ads are all basically, like, militarizing the, you know, resistance to Trump and, like, the protesters and stuff.
Yeah, they're like Antifa is punching people in the face. Yeah. Right. You need a machine gun.
Yeah.
Like, how will you fight their super soldiers?
Right.
And by super soldiers, you're talking about, like, angry guys who like Radiohead.
Right.
You know, it's like, they're not doing shit.
Yeah, this shit, those fucking NRA videos are, I think they're
wild.
I think we're going to, like, get to hopefully the year 2100 and, like, look back on those NRA videos and be like, that was truly criminal. Like, that shit is stirring discontent for the sole purpose to make money. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's insane. It reminds me of the movie Scrooged, when Bill Murray is, like, pitching, he's showing the promo for their holiday special, and the promo's like, if you miss this, you will die. And, like, a nuclear bomb lands on, like, a woman's house, and it, like, blows up. And they're like, sir, they're getting a lot of complaints about it. It's like, the joke is out. And then this is what it's like. They literally say, like, and it's, like, such coded language, of course. There's, like, racial coding and all this stuff. But there's also, like, the images line up with, like, danger. And it's, like, a picture of, like, five black guys protesting or whatever.
Right.
The shit is, like, it's fucked.
It's wild. And they're basically, like, just half-heartedly promoting, like, armed conflict among people.
Among Americans.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And essentially, you know, making it seem like people who protest Trump are, like, an enemy combatant.
Yeah, or violent.
Right, right. Yeah. We're terrorists.
Right.
Yeah.
They're telling that to people who have guns.
Yeah, and journal. Like, I know, you're stoking a fucking group of people who have not been background checked before they purchased these guns.
Right.
We don't know what their mental health issues are. And then they're watching, like, I think of that fucking, I'm just referencing every piece of pop culture I've consumed in the last 10 years, but the Slender Man documentary, when they're like, and she was just watching YouTube videos, and they show, like, a sizzle reel of what she was watching. And it's all, like, mostly innocuous, but to cut together, it's like the fucking Ring video.
Right,
you're like, this would twist someone's belief system in an instant. And then you're like, you're a fucking sort of on-edge person who has, you know, maybe some sort of personality disorder or some sort of mental health issues. You own a couple of guns. Then you watch a video where someone says this person's out to get you. You know what I mean? Like, fucking people showed up to Comet Pizza or whatever with a gun.
Yeah, to save them kids.
Right.
That's all, like, yeah, they're all gassed up off these conspiracy theories.
It's fucking, it's so upsetting.
That was the tragedy of even the shooting in the church. Like, immediately people were trying to spin that as, like, the November 4th Antifa revolution that they were trying to kick off and trying to tie this guy to, like, that is so reckless.
Like, there was like 10 Google results, like, right after that, either attached him as a liberal, as a
Bernie
Muslim
guy,
Bernie supporter. Like, it's just like, how can we spin the, thoughts and prayers. They were literally thinking and praying. And when it happened to them.
Well, and then it's what's funny is like Fox News the next day when like a lot of people on Twitter were like, you know, thoughts and prayers didn't help them. And they're like, how could they, like, that's what they were taking offense to. It's like, you know, we're people of faith. And how dare they, like, just trying to deflect from what the real conversation is. And it's just disturbing. But the good thing is, like, Jeff Flake, Mr. Renegade Kamikaze Senator, because now he's not running for reelection, him and Martin Heinrich, Senator from New Mexico, like, they're actually writing. They're going to attempt to put forward a bill that will, like, close, like, the, I forget, I think it's the Lautenberg Amendment, which is what, you know, they were saying is the amendment that, you know, said that people who were convicted of domestic abuse or whatever couldn't have guns. But what they're trying to do is, like, in that bill, the wording is very, like, there's, like, a boyfriend loophole because they define, like, domestic abuse as, like, your wife or, like, the mother of a child. So if you're just cohabitating, you're not married, you don't have kids, and you beat on your partner, that was like, that wouldn't get reported.
Right.
And they're also trying to make sure, because I think one of the big goofs too, not like a goof is a horrible way to say that, but a huge oversight was the fact that the Air Force.
Blooper.
Yeah. Like those old sports tapes. The Air Force did not properly report, his charge, and they're really trying to do something about that. So it seems like maybe they're going to do something, but again, we'll never know until we see who will actually come out and support this thing.
Right.
And if the NRA is again going to intimidate people.
I mean, it's gotta be the thing. I feel it's so hacked to keep saying, but we're like, we're the only country who's dealing with it on such this scale.
Yeah.
And then every single fucking counter argument from the right is some version of, like, it's like fighting with your significant other when they, like, they just change what the entire argument is about. They're like, well, what about Chicago? And it's like, we're not talking about Chicago.
We can get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to Chicago. Chicago has the strictest gun laws in the country. Illinois, yeah, well, they are bordered by four states that don't.
Like, Indiana, like, they'll give you a gun for showing up.
Yeah, if you have a Reggie Miller jersey, you get two free guns.
If you know who Rick Smits is.
The Duncan Dutchman. He went to Marist College. He's like the second most famous alumni. I'm the third
after
most
you.
Famous.
Oh.
No, Bill
Who's
O'Reilly.
Oh.
Yeah, we got a rep.
Yeah.
I got to swing this.
I think you can leapfrog Smits into that number one spot.
But every counter argument is like, it's a mental health issue. And it's like, okay, so then why not have that mental health thing in a gun bill?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
the one that Trump rolled back that Obama tried to enforce.
Right. And so like, that is something that happened, right? There was a mental health law about gun ownership.
There was. And again, it was rolled back. It was like one of the first things Trump did in February when he took office was like, roll this thing back. Like,
and only because it had Obama's name on it.
Of course. Exactly.
And then there's fucking, like, you can be on the no-fly list and still buy guns. Like,
it's
just
wild.
Feels insane. And then, like, the truck shit will happen. And someone will be like,
we're going to outlaw trucks.
Yeah, we're going to outlaw trucks. It's like, he killed 9 people on a busy, in downtown Manhattan with a truck. This guy killed 26. He killed, like, 6% of a population of a town.
Yeah.
And, only because there wasn't that many people there was the only reason it's 26.
Right.
And so their fucking counterarguments on that make no sense. Well, if everyone had guns in New York, they could have stopped that driver. It's like the last thing I want, I feel safe, is like every fucking Park Slope dad pulling out a pistol and firing at a moving truck. God help you. You're the guy who's trying to move a moving truck and you don't think you're in reverse and you're in drive and you accidentally drive forward onto a sidewalk a little and then 5 people shoot you and you're like, it was an accident.
I wouldn't even trust a group of elite soldiers to open fire in a densely populated area on a car. Also, this isn't GTA, my man. Like, you're not going to blow the car up because you shoot it enough times.
Now, one of my favorite things in the world are action movies. Like, I'm obsessed with them. Seagal, Chuck Norris, all these people who end up being monsters, scumbags, whatever. I didn't realize how much the culture of these movies permeated the culture of modern society. Like, these movies are all good guys with guns.
Right.
I think that's what everyone believes themselves to be. Like, all these, like, gun nuts believe themselves to be the person who's like, when my house is surrounded by the purge and they want to rape and kill my family, I'm ready for them.
Right.
You know? And that to me is like, why don't we nip what's going to cause the purge in the bud.
Like, right. Well, because they want that. That's...
They want the ability to kill people. That's why people love fucking zombie movies. Because in a zombie movie, you can kill humans.
That aren't human.
That aren't human. Right. Yeah, exactly. So you can just fucking shoot them. And it's like, oh, imagine if I wish there were zombies so I could just open fire on people.
That's
it's
all
like,
I'm waiting for, man.
It's fucking insane. Yeah.
But that's why you, anytime there's a home invasion where the person whose home it is, like, shoots the person invading, like, that shit will be blasted out there in all the gun magazines, like, Fox News outlet.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but every time someone fucking, a toddler blows their fucking hand off in their parents' gun safe, like, that shit is never
anywhere. Yeah, and a lot of them are marketed towards defense, aren't they? Like, a lot of, like, gun magazines, too, like, they take an angle of, like, you need these guns for defense. It's never like, hey, you like hunting or, like, target shooting or whatever. Right. It's like, man, when they
stopping power, they like, love to bring up.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, who the fuck are you stopping? That's why there should be shotguns. If you want to protect your house, just buy a fucking shotgun. It's not something you can fucking stand up in a tower and take out 100 people with, but it is something that even an idiot wouldn't miss with at point blank range.
And you just get buckshot. You know what I mean? You don't even have to aim.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back after this. And we're back. All right, we're going to run through a few quick stories here on our way out. The Paradise Papers is an ongoing story. Basically, all of the extremely, extremely wealthy people are awful people who
they're
are
hiding their money,
finding ways to hide their money. It's just, I think the person who released the Panama Papers said that, you know, this is the story of inequality in our time. And, you know, this is basically chapter two of that story. And it's insane. Our producer, Nick Stumpf, was saying that this kind of puts further lie to the idea of merit being at the root of wealth, whereas, like, this seems to indicate wealth is a self-feeding and extremely destructive form of, like, mental illness. Like,
it is an addiction, and you have to feed it.
Right.
Also, this really, you talk about, like, merit. This really nips in the bud trickle down in any way, too.
Exactly.
Where it's like any counter argument you have to that is like, well, if you're not even, if the money's not even being taxed by the American government, like, you want to lower your tax rates and you're not even getting all your money taxed. I love this Paradise Paper shit. First of all, what a great fucking name.
Right.
Catchy name. It's like, yes, we're finding about offshore weird shit.
Right.
It's like the firm. It's like Pelican Brief. Yeah. They sound like something
they
important.
They consulted Grisham on the titling of this story. Yeah.
Before we leave this, can you go through and just kind of give us notes on this?
Right.
But doesn't the Queen of England have a bunch of money
in
there? And it's like
money.
That money is not helping England, the country that is in her name.
Right.
Do you believe some of their taxes still go to the fucking Queen? Like, how pissed would you be if they were just like funneling your tax dollars to some old lady who was just like buying jewelry with it? So I don't know. This is going to be an ongoing story. But I think that's a really good point. I mean, part of the whole rationale behind the Republican tax reform is that America has some of the highest corporate taxes. So we're going to go from 35% down to 20% on the corporate taxes. It's still going to be higher than zero, which is like the only thing that will make these people happy. I don't know. Let's move on to Taylor Swift, you guys. She is suing people for writing articles.
Or threatening to sue.
Yeah, threatening to sue people.
Yeah.
Sending a cease and desist. Miles, you're our expert on
Taylor Swift
beat.
You're a Swiftie.
I am a Swiftie. They call me Swiftie McVeigh. Shout out to D12. So Taylor Swift, you know, obviously most people, you may or may not know, the Nazis have embraced her because she's, you know, she looks like an Aryan goddess. And she doesn't really speak out politically too much. So that's given enough ambiguity for Nazis to say she's on our team.
Right. She was like the one famous person who didn't come out and openly support Hillary Clinton in the last election, it seems like.
And she's just has nothing to say about anything political or like what is wrong with the world. So again, it's easy to, when you have no opinion, appear like you support whatever the fuck you want them.
Right.
To
and you don't alienate anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
I keep going.
Yeah. So she, Someone, I forget what the website was.
The Daily Stormer is writing about her, right?
And yeah, the Daily Stormer. So someone interviewed someone from the Daily Stormer, and they're like, oh, so what do you think about Taylor Swift? And he's like, well, look, you know, she's definitely a Nazi. She's just waiting for Donald Trump to create, like, this is a sort of a summation of what this quote was, but something to the effect of, like, she's waiting for Donald Trump to create the right environment for her to come out and announce her, like, her Aryan plan or something
right,
like that.
It's right.
Like, okay.
Daily Stormer's a Nazi website.
Yeah. And so,
not to be confused with websites, which are now Nazi websites.
Right. Like everything is
not to be
Nazi
confused
website.
With Twitter.com.
Yeah. So an editor at PopFront, this website, wrote like, you know, an opinion piece on how, you know, Taylor Swift is kind of problematic and that she needs to come out and publicly address this and say, look, straight up, I'm no way a Nazi. I don't want anyone thinking I have anything to do with you. I denounce all of this shit. But then she was also kind of making, she was suggesting that things in her video were sort of proving this point that she may actually be a Nazi. She's hiding language to secretly communicate with them.
Fuck.
So sure, you know, whatever. I'm not really on
Might
that
be a
train.
Stretch.
Yeah, that's a stretch. I definitely do believe, yo, if the Nazis are like, yo, your team Hitler,
right. They're definitely seeing that shit.
Then yeah, you need to come out and
they're not a big enough market that you're going to go platinum selling to only Nazis.
Yeah. Right.
Your best bet is to just distance yourself from them. And the second you say like Nazis don't buy my fucking album, like I think maybe POCs would swing back in a Taylor Swift direction. You know,
right. Get some new fans who don't like Nazis.
Right. Exactly.
So she wrote this piece. Then suddenly she got hit with a cease and desist letter from Taylor Swift's lawyers, like, hey, you know, basically saying like you're lying about her and misleading or whatever. But keep in mind, this isn't reporting. This is just someone's opinion. And they're getting hit with a cease and desist for having an opinion, which is a very slippery slope here. Like, again, maybe Taylor Swift does realize it's Trump's America and you can just try and like shut people down for having opinions. Whatever. Who knows? But then like the ACLU got involved and like kind of schooling people like, hey, you know, this is not on the level in any way. Like
trying to
hit her with a season. This is like, this is someone's opinion. Like, so what are you going to do? Go through Twitter too?
Man, I'm starting to think that maybe she does have some sympathies to the Nazi cause because like at first I was like, oh, she's just like doing the, you know, she's all about making money and like having corporate sponsors and stuff. But now she's at a point where her continued like, insistence on not distancing herself from Nazis is like the difficult thing to do. Like
it's crazy that you have to come out and say you're anti-Nazi in 2017. Like,
yeah, but
it's not
do.
A given anymore, but right. You do. Someone pointed out one time to me, someone said the phrase, oh, if you're trying to say like, I don't really get into politics, I don't really care about politics. What you're saying is I'm privileged enough that current political, climate doesn't affect me.
Right.
Yeah. And that's like an insane way, like rephrasing it like that of just like, of course Taylor Swift is like, well, I don't want to get political. It's like, of course you don't have to get political.
Yeah, right.
You're a billionaire. You're going to be fine in perpetuity.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And you've been in that position since you were born because your dad was like started a hedge fund.
Right.
Like a fucking millionaire. So,
again, I mean, I don't, you know, I think she needs to say something. You got to say something. I don't know if she's like trying to like, you know, dog whistle the Nazis or anything like that with her videos, but her videos suck anywhere. She's stealing Nicki Minaj's flow in that last song. Whatever. Taylor, get your act together. It's not hard to say, I don't fuck with Nazis. Not controversial.
Yeah.
And then in the cease and desist letter, they try to say like, and let this letter stand as another public rebuke that Taylor does not do that. It's like, yo, it's not enough. She's not tweeting that letter out. She needs to show her face and make a statement. So, hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, and Beyonce, who have stated against... They seem to be doing financially okay
right.
as well.
Yeah, so it's
their
career.
I don't think Taylor's going to go down.
No. And again, yeah, she must on some level feel that it is going to alienate people. And I guess, and that's more troubling, because if you're worried that you're alienating people with, like, dated, ignorant, racist viewpoints...
Is she, like, country adjacent, though, with her pop in, like, in the genre? I don't really
listen. Now. She started
I guess she
that
was
way.
Originally, so maybe she feels like her base is that, but still.
But I think with Shake It Off, like that brought in a whole, that made her, yeah. I mean, I'm not a Taylor Swift historian. People are probably going to tweet and be like, well, that was not a real first song, whatever. But yeah, she's straight up pop now. I mean, she's like rapping basically now. So
yeah,
come on.
I mean, she's alienating
Nazis or old fashioned
music. Yeah.
She's a rapping Nazi. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not saying that. Hey, don't come for me, Taylor.
And finally, three UCLA basketball players were arrested in China for shoplifting from, I forget what store.
So one Louis of the Vuitton store.
Louis Vuitton.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Tell the fancy people.
Yeah, welcome, John, pronounce it. To the international show.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, so LiAngelo Ball, the middle brother of the three Ball brothers.
Right.
The offspring of the demon LeVar Ball.
Ball is life.
Yeah, Ball is life. Name. BBB. The kids who can't wear Nikes because their dad makes them wear their own off-brand shit. Yeah, they were touring China. And him and three other players tried to shoplift. He's facing, possibly, if convicted, 3 to 10 years in Chinese prison, which I feel
would
bad.
Would affect your ball game a little bit.
A lot, yeah, because let me tell you, the quality of basketball in those Chinese prisons is not what you think. It's not like out here.
It's not like prisons from movies.
Yeah, right. Exactly, where people are like...
It's like Midnight Express.
Yeah. Right, they put people to death for, like, selling drugs or even, like, having them, I think.
Yeah, it's a tough... You do not want to be caught shoplifting out there. Although, you know, again, I just feel bad that, like, I do not like LeVar Ball so much that I'm somehow trying to be like, yeah, he should probably go to jail.
In my head, I'm picturing the dad going, hey, grab me a couple of Louis Vuitton bags while you're
right, right,
like,
right.
I feel like the dad is just ruining his kid's life to such an aggressive degree. He's like, hey, while you're there, they don't even give a fuck about shoplifting. Grab me some shit.
Exactly. and again, if you're not a sports fan, let me just tell you why LeVar Ball is just an idiot. First of all, he has three sons that are pretty good at basketball. You know, we'll see how they pan out, but
Lonzo was the number two draft pick in the NBA last year.
Out of UCLA, one of the great point guards for playing last year. So he basically tried to get like shoe deals, cause that's what you do when you go to the league. You try and shop around, get like a huge $1 million shoe deal. And he basically got shut down by like Adidas, Nike, Under Armour, all the big companies, because he was going around being like, look, I don't want your deal. You pay me $1 billion right now and you get all three of my kids. Like,
right.
He was trying to push this, like, deal that is just, it doesn't work. And it just shows that he's so out of touch and arrogant that he thinks he can do that. That's why I'm like, yo, LeVar, fall back. But your kid's
a shitty
whatever.
Stage dad, basically.
He's the worst.
Yeah, he's a momager.
Exactly. Right. And then he was trying to, like, you know, have beef with Magic Johnson. That's a no-no. Not in this city.
Yeah.
Not with me.
Don't fuck with Magic.
Don't fuck with Magic.
All right. That's all the time we have. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Guys,
this was
thanks
a
for
blast.
Having me.
Yeah, it was
big
awesome.
Fan.
Oh, yeah. This was exciting.
This is the most
serious I've ever been on a podcast, I think.
Amazing.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And this has been one of our most laughy podcasts. So.
Yeah, well, we can laugh
meet
ourselves through the NRA.
Yeah. So where can people follow you?
I'm at John Gabrus on Twitter. I've been trying to get at Gabrus. This person has had it for 7 years and has never fucking tweeted once.
The laws are shitty, like that.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to be like, if you're squatting on it and not doing anything, you can get it back. Like, you have to prove that, like, they stole your identity to get it.
Yeah, it's kind of obnoxious. And I'm at Gabrus Picks on Instagram. And you can listen to any one of my podcasts, Raised by TV, High and Mighty, or Action Boys. Find it wherever you find podcasts.
So Raised by TV is you and Lauren Lapkus talking about TV?
Yes. And it's
so good.
It's already obnoxious. Like, we just rant and ramble about television. The episodes go all over the place. We have like a sketch comedy episode, an animated episode, commercials and snacks. We did an episode where we do a fantasy family draft where we draft a sitcom dad, a sitcom mom. It's really fun. If you are anywhere in between the ages of like 25 and 45, you'll probably know
I'm there. Yeah. It just came out, right?
It just dropped today.
Yeah. Today.
First episode?
Yeah.
The first episode
just came out today.
Today or, I guess same day.
Because this is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We don't lie anymore. We used to lie. Sorry, fans.
Shit, you had to change, you know?
Yeah.
You guys,
yeah.
Someone's got to bring truth in this current climate.
Exactly.
Current climate, by the way, should be the fucking my tattoo. I've said it like 15 times today.
In this current climate.
I'm like afraid to say, I got to couch everything with like, so, as you know, the world is fucked.
In this current climate.
But what about pumpkin spice lattes?
Miles, where in this current climate can people follow you?
In this current climate, you can find me. I'm going to be checking out John's podcast and also check me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. MILESOFGR.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, The Daily Zeitgeist. And we are on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website called dailyzeitgeist.com where we post footnotes of all the links and articles that we are using as sources so you can tell that we are not making stuff up. And we'll be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you then.